by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Anybody ever intrigued by the number of diseases that people have that you never heard about before? You know, you'll hear that somebody has something, I think, what is that? I never heard of it before. And it's come to my, as I did a little research, I discovered that over the last 20 years, there have been at least 30 new diseases identified. That's a little interesting, I think. One of those diseases is called Morbus Sabbaticus. You ever hear of that before? Well, neither had I. Well, you know, you see, let me tell you about this disease. Maybe you'll find out if you've ever had it. It really has a very sudden onset. You know, people will wake up feeling refreshed. They'll have breakfast. They'll be feeling really good. And then, especially on a Sunday, somewhere about mid-morning, an illness just begins to take over their body. And they're just, you're good. Don't be contagious. You know, and oddly enough, as fast as that disease begins, somewhere around noon, all of the symptoms begin to dissipate. People find themselves able to walk and go shopping and clean the house and do all kinds of things that day. Never to return again until 7 days later. Well, the disease is viral in that it often attacks the head of a family and spreads to every family member. It always leaves a devastating scar. The only known remedy is repentance and prayer. Now, I think by now you've figured out that Morbus Sabbaticus is Sunday disease, right? And we've all had it. We all get it every once in a while. Everybody but me, because I have to come here. But, you know, the rest of us have had it at times. And, you know, there's times when there's really a reason. Sometimes people have to work on a Sunday. And it's sad, but sadder is not taking care of your family. So if I'm talking about you, I'm not talking about you, okay, in that area. But we've been looking at characteristics of committed followers of Jesus. A few weeks ago, I shared with you the first characteristic, and that characteristic is a changed life. If someone enters into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, somewhere, and not necessarily at the same speed, there is a transformation that begins in one's life and heart. There is a changes that take place. And that evidence of a changed life, or allowing the Holy Spirit to change you, is part of becoming or being a more committed follower of Jesus. The second characteristic of a committed follower is a concern for lost people. Every one of us has individuals that we work with. We have people in our families. We have people in our neighborhoods that do not know Christ. If we are committed to following Jesus, we will be concerned that those individuals that do not know Him will spend eternity separated from Him. And so we will be doing our part, whatever that might be. Every one of us is gifted and a little bit differently. Every one of us has different kinds of personalities and the way in which we do things. But the point is, It is not only the person with the gift of evangelism that is to be reaching lost people. Every one of us should. Within our ability, whatever is relationally right for us. The third characteristic we looked at last week, and that is a commitment to serve. We talked last week of how important it is for each individual who has received Christ. They each one has at least one spiritual gift, along with whatever talents God has given them, and we are to use them for the building up of the body of Christ. When one person doesn't do their gift, it hurts not only that person, but it hurts all other people in the body. We need everybody doing their part to bring about the spiritual maturity that God desires. And I believe one thing farther, and that is that God will always bring the individuals into the body that are needed for continued spiritual growth. And so we need to be using our gifts. There should be a commitment to serve. And we talked about this last week, how, you know, that may change. The way we serve might change. You know, maybe we were able to do something and then we got a little older. We couldn't do that, but we can do something else. Or maybe we could do this and then we have a slew of kids and we can't do that right now, but we can do something else. The point is that every one of us has gifts and abilities that we need to be using. And when did we say one is done serving Jesus? When you meet him. Then he might have something else for you to do, but you're done here. That's when retirement starts. And there are wonderful retirement benefits. Today we look at the fourth characteristic of a committed follower of Christ, and that is a commitment to worship. A committed follower of Jesus is committed to worshiping him. Now, when I say the word worship, what comes to mind? Praise? Anybody else? Music? Bible reading? Okay. Many times when we talk about worship, all we're thinking about is what we did before the sermon. We think about what we do in church for the first 20-odd minutes or whatever. That's what we think of when we think about worship. The reality is, according to George Barna, 2/3 of all church-going adults cannot accurately describe what worship is. And so I'm going to give you a definition, and there it is on the screen. Worship is active communion with God, in which believers by grace through faith focus their heart's affection and mind's attention on humbly glorifying God in response to his character, his acts, and his word. It's giving God the glory that is due him for all that he has done and for who he is. Worship is expressed to God. How worship is expressed is in an attitude of a heart, awe, thankfulness. It's expressed in music. It's expressed in song. It's expressed in ceremony or ritual. It's expressed in prayer. It's expressed in Bible reading. And if we're doing all that we do for the glory of God, it's expressed in our actions and even our acts of service. And so worship is a characteristic that should be evident in every committed follower of Jesus. Now around that, I want to share three truths today. And the first truth is this: a committed follower of Jesus worships him by giving him first priority. You see, we automatically think that it has to do with singing, whether we're going to sing or whether we're not going to sing, or what. But really, it has to do with what position we give to the Lord in our lives. That's the main part, that he is our first priority. One day, Jesus was walking down the street and someone came up to him and asked, "What is the most important commandment in the entire Bible?" And this is what Jesus said in Mark 12, 30. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength." Now, if you recall, during Jesus' earthly ministry, he was constantly being challenged by other religious leaders. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were other Jewish sects, and they were always critical of Jesus. They were waiting for him to violate one of their standards. And so they wanted to know, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, "The greatest commandment sums up all of the rest, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength." My friends, really, loving the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength is worship. That's worship. Loving God. God wants us to love him with all of our heart. Now, when the Bible speaks of heart, the Bible isn't speaking of that muscle in our chest that goes thump, 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 the muscle that pushes the blood through our veins. The Bible is speaking of the center of our being, the center of our intellect, the center of who we are, our will, our intentions, our thoughts. The Bible tells us that even the words that come out of our mouth all originate in our heart, in that center of our being. To love God with all of our heart means that God is in the center of all. We live in a society where we categorize or compartmentalize ourselves from all things. This is my worship, or this is my my work, or whatever. We kind of just put everything in little boxes. But the reality is that we are to worship the Lord with all of our heart. That means in all things, he ought to have first priority. Secondly, we're to love him with all of our soul. And our soul refers to that immaterial part of our being, that eternal part of our existence. It also has to do with our selfish part of ourselves, is our soul as well. And so the scriptures teach us that we are to love the Lord with that self part, that emotional part of who we are. The psalmist in Psalm 35:9 said, "My soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation." In Psalm 42:1, it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." And so that part of our being, that eternal, non-material part of us, is worshiping God. We are to love the Lord with all of our soul. That often can be translated to mean to take the self out of it, to be selfless, to remove the self-centered part from ourselves. We'll talk a little bit about worship as we go on here. And so often we think that worship is about us, and it's never about us. It is not about us. It is not for us. And we'll see that in a few minutes. Thirdly, we are to love or worship God with all of our mind. You know, sometimes people look at unbelievers, look at believers and think that we're mindless, wimpy, weak people. But intelligently, we can worship God. We don't need to leave our brains at the door. Because the world points to a designer, a creator God. We can use our minds and have faith. Faith that is understandable. Colossians 3:2 says that we should set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Our thoughts should be focused on the Lord. And that means we need to love God and honor Him before other people, before ourselves. And even as the song "Lord, Reign in Me" says, more than any earthly thing. That's the priority that we need to give to God. Our love for God requires our mind. It requires a decision to put God in His rightful place, to honor Him. And then lastly, we're to love and worship God with all of our strength. Now, the Hebrew word for strength is me'od, which means with everything you've got. And the Greek equivalent is ischus, which means with all of your ability. And so we are to worship God with everything we have. Having a determination to give God the priority in our lives and to give Him the honor and the devotion that is due His name. God wants us not to love Him in just certain compartments of our lives, not in certain parts, but He wants us to worship Him in every single moment of every single day. And a committed follower of Jesus surrenders to that authority, to that desire. We must understand that it is not about us. Have you ever left a service with a smile on your face and said, "Wow, that was really great. I was blessed today"? Sometimes people will leave a service saying, "Boy, I didn't get anything out of that, and the preacher talked too long, too." But oh, I heard an amen. Wow. But you understand, when it comes to worship, none of that has anything to do with it. We are not intended to get anything out of it. Now, we do. We're blessed by it. You know, you can't be in God's presence and not be blessed, okay? But the attention is never for what we can get. It's what God gets, what God receives. Worship is for God and God alone. And so the real question we should ask ourselves is, what did I give to God in worship? What did I give to Him? When we try to worship God with an attitude that is about us or what we can get, we find ourselves focused on things. We focus on music. We focus on instruments. We focus on who's doing the preaching or whatever. You know, sometimes people go in and out of a church service and they're like when they get to lunch, they're like the Olympic judges. I'll give it a 4.1. I'll give it a 6.2. You know, that sort of thing. And really, the worship service is to worship God. And God is the one that should get all. Yeah, when we come to church, we might feel empty, we might feel drained, we might feel unworthy, we might feel all kinds of emotions. The aim of our worship is to focus on the Lord and lose ourselves in Him. To have a personal encounter through His Spirit. To know that He is present. To know that He speaks to us. To know that He hears us. It's not about us. It is always and only about God. Characteristic, or truth number two, or what do I have it saying there? What does it say, Kyle? Truth. Truth two. A committed follower of Jesus makes public worship a priority. We're to worship God in all of our being, every moment, every day. A committed follower makes public worship a priority, and I hope I can show you why. Hebrews 10:25 says, Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, without any forethought, we sang Days of Elijah. We sang a hymn that we never sang before entitled, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, okay? We believe that the day of His return is approaching. And so the author of Hebrews says that we ought to be gathering together all the more because we believe the day is coming. We gather together for a multiplicity of purposes. Yes, we gather to sing, we gather to pray. We gather to encourage one another. We gather to grow spiritually as we listen to the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives. Yet, more and more, we battle a calendar that gives us a lot of challenges in this world. Isaiah 56:2 says, Blessed are all those who are careful to do this. Blessed are those who honor my Sabbath days of rest and keep themselves from doing wrong. Now, God is promising to Israel, got to follow along here, God is promising a blessing to the Israelites if they will keep His Sabbath. And some of you are thinking in your mind, well, I don't have to keep a Sabbath. I'm not under the Jewish law anymore. And, okay, let me go on. In Isaiah 56:6-7, it says, And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, that is, make a commitment to following the Lord and serve Him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will give them what? Joy in the house of prayer. Now understand, and foreigners. Who is that? Us. Us. God promises us to give us joy and blessing when we give Him that priority in our lives. Isaiah 58:13-14a says, If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Every once in a while, someone will say, I've lost my joy. I just don't have the joy I once had. And there's lots of things that, symptoms that can cause that. I know that in those years that I was wandering from God and He was far from being a priority in my life, I didn't have any joy. And I know that when I got my heart right with Him, all of a sudden I had abundant joy back. It came like a flood. And I understand that too from personal experience. But He promises us that if we give Him that place of priority, where we give Him the place of worship, that we will find delight in His holy day. If we're committed to worshiping the Lord, we will desire to gather together. Now, somebody might be saying, well, you know what? I don't need to gather together with other believers to worship the Lord on the Sabbath or on the holy day. That's true. You don't. You really don't. I can't imagine that individual can get all that there is to get isolated from the body. Remember last week we talked about spiritual gifts? We talked about the gifts of others bringing about the encouragement and the maturity that we need to grow spiritually. So we need one another. I need every one of you to use your gift, and you need me to use my gift. That's how it works. And so we need to gather with one another. It's just the way it works. And so it's important that we make gathering together a priority. That we make gathering together and give it the place in our lives that it deserves to be. Yes, you can read your Bible. Yes, you can pray at home. Yes, you can do all of those things. But you miss the benefits of the body. And they're vitally important to each one of our lives. At Bethany, when it comes to music, we have a blended style of worship. We sing hymns, we sing praise songs. They fall under the category of styles of worship. But, get this, neither hymns nor praise songs constitute worship unless they're an expression from here. Unless they're an expression from our hearts. It's all about God. And every worship service should be a personal encounter with Him. And that preparation begins well before we get here. It really does. It begins before the invocation. Even though we ask the Lord to prepare our hearts and we do all of that, it begins before that. It begins in making the priority in the plan. It begins in opening our hearts and saying, Lord, you know, I want you to have your way in me today. I want you to show me the things that I don't currently see. I want you to be glorified. I want your name to be lifted up. I want to give you the place that you deserve. And it starts before we ever enter the door. Characteristic 3, a committed follower of Jesus makes personal worship a priority. You know, there's such a thing as the person that says, I don't need to come to church, I can do this at home. And then there's a person that comes to church and never does anything at home. And it's a package deal. It all works together, okay? Worshiping God is more than a Sunday morning thing. It is a daily thing. You cannot be a committed follower if you don't spend time with God between Sundays and Sundays. Let me ask you a question. Many of you are married. If you only spoke to or communicated to your spouse 1 hour a week, tell me how wonderful your relationship might be. What did you say? Quiet. Peaceful. Well, that wasn't quite the answer I was going for. Okay. Well, but truthfully, the way that you foster a relationship, not only with a spouse, but with a girlfriend, boyfriend, with anybody, a friend, you spend time together. Not one little segment with big segments of time in between, but contact, talk, discussion, a phone call, an email, a text message. You know, maybe you go have coffee together, do something together. And that's how you foster a relationship. And that same thing is true and applies to our relationship with God. We need to spend time with Him. And we spend time in His Word. We spend time in prayer. Or we might spend time in Bible study or whatever that might be. But it's necessary for us to be doing those things as part of our personal worship. Personal development of that relationship. Bringing about the spiritual maturity that God desires for us. If our car only worked for an hour on a Sunday morning, what would we do about it? What's that? Shoe Leather Express. Yeah. Now we begin to think about some of these things, how necessary daily things are, how necessary habits are. And so it's important that we develop the habits that express our worship to God. That the things that we do daily, the things that we do together as believers, bring about giving God his place a priority, giving God the place that he rightfully deserves. And a committed follower of Jesus is committed to worshiping the Lord. God is not an interruption to our busy lives. He is the priority. Our busy lives are more often the interruption to God. If we are worshiping God, we are loving him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We are worshiping him not only publicly, but we're worshiping him privately. And he is part of our day-to-day relationship. And we're worshiping him. So as we look at this fourth characteristic of a committed follower, the question that you must ask yourself right now is, based on this teaching, are you a committed follower of Jesus? And the second part is, how do your actions validate your commitment? The good news, whatever the answers are, if you're not pleased with them, you're not stuck with them. You can change that. And that's the good thing. And God isn't going to sit around like we do sometimes. Well, you had no time for me yesterday. Go away. Not at all. When we focus our heart's attention on God, God welcomes us. He desires that relationship. He desires that worship. And not only does he desire it, but he deserves it. Father, we thank you for your word, for what it teaches us. And Lord, we do worship you. Help us, Lord, to show that we love you with all of our being, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. That may mean, Lord, that we need to look at our priorities. We may need to look at our lives. We may need to realign some things. But Lord, above all, help us to take the step to give you first priority and to think through the things that we do so that they might lead to worship, the worship that you and you alone deserve. Father, thank you for your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.